Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Ron DeSantis should be president, hands down. He's the most effective Republican politician right now that we have. I'm going to explain why. He's also the most effective modern governor in the history of the United States. And Ron DeSantis just announced property taxes in Florida are going to end. It cannot be overstated just how big of a win this is. Here's him making the announcement on Fox and Friends.
We got to put it on the ballot, and the voters have to approve it. It's a constitutional issue in Florida. It's not something the state derives revenue for. It's a local issue. We're trying to focus on Florida homeowners and their primary resident, people that have Airbnbs or whatever. You know, that's separate. Yeah. But your personal home, you shouldn't rent it from the government. You should own it. And, you know, you're paying taxes for 50 years, but even for young families, it's become very difficult across this country to make ends meet. Wouldn't it be great if they were able to have home ownership without having the burden of property tax that? So that's coming to a ballot near you in November of 2026, and we need 60% of Florida voters to do it. And I think it's going to be very popular, but it's also something that's not an easy bar to reach.
This would be the perfect way for DeSantis to end his governorship in Florida, in my opinion. You've got to imagine that if you're a Floridian and you're just thinking, you look at the ballot, it comes in 2026 and it says Amendment 1, end property taxes for your primary residence. Are we seriously saying, do we really believe that we would not get 60% of the people to vote yes on that? Like, who wouldn't want their property taxes to end? That's a pretty easy amendment. And a lot of people could say, well, obviously, you know, obviously everyone wants to spend less money, but like, hey, that's how democracy works. If people don't want it, it shouldn't be in there. So I think it's a great amendment to put in. Critics will say that local governments need the money. I think that's fair to a degree, but I think the reality is property taxes are unconstitutional. I think those funds should be raised in other ways. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have taxation. You have right to life, liberty, and property. Those are our three most fundamental rights. If you don't pay your property taxes right now, the government can take your home. They will seize your home. And so basically you don't have a right to your property. That's my problem with property taxes. Governor DeSantis has talked about this at length. I think it would be much more constitutional if cities taxed through sales tax instead, which frankly is what most people do already. If you look at the cities, the sales tax is determined by the city because different cities have different needs. You get a move to different cities depending on the sales tax rate. You know, if you don't like how high it is, you don't move there. But a property tax is just unconstitutional. And so just do it through the sales tax. That's perfectly fine. That's constitutional. You can still, you know, choose which city you want to live in. You actually just get a right to your property then. And this is just one example of how great of a governor Ron DeSantis is. It brings me to something that I've said for a while now. Ron DeSantis needs to be president of the United States. He is just too effective as a governor, as a politician. If you look at you can look at it in two sides, right? You can look from the perspective of just a normal U.S. citizen. If you're a normal Floridian, politics aside, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, he's just fantastic. He's done so much good. I mean, a lot of people forget the great things he's done. He's expanded school choice for people more than any other time. He brought school choice originally to Florida and really expanded it. He's brought tax relief. I think there was some tax holidays with baby clothes as well as gas. I know he's cut down the deficit in Florida by like 50%. He's brought down decades and decades of debt that Florida had. He's been fantastic on the hurricanes, natural disasters. Public safety has gotten a lot better. Workforce education's gotten a lot better. I mean, you could go down the list. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. So whatever he does, I think is going to be good for the nation. However, if you look at it from a Republican lens, Ron DeSantis won that state by hardly anything in 2018. Then in 2022, he won pretty handily. And it just proves that if you actually govern a state conservatively and do it well, it is a massive pickup for Republicans, both in the fact that people are moving there because they wanted to live there, but also Democrats who were voting Democrat and then switched to be Republican because they saw how great Ron DeSantis was. So if you're a Republican, you should want Ron DeSantis to be president because it is going to make more people right-leaning. That's just what he does. So he's got to be president. If you look at his approval right now, what you see is that he is a 54% approval rating. Very, very good. Better than Donald Trump, by the way. 40% disapprove. Those are just basically all the Democrats in Florida. And then 6% are undecided. Those are the people who are just completely apolitical. Don't care about anything. He is a very, very popular governor, especially for a purple state. I guess you could kind of say it's a red state now. Again, he's made it that way. The problem, though, that he has, if he wants to be president, and I know a lot of people will bring this up, and it's totally fine, is that his approval rating does not match the polls for the Republican primary in 2028. This is the most recent polling for 2028. J.D. Vance is at 38%. Donald Trump Jr. is at 25%. And he's third place with 6%. So he's nowhere close. And Marco Rubio is, you know, right there with him at 4%. And then you've got all the other random people, some of them which are good, like Glenn Youngkin and Tom Cotton, some of which are bad, like Nikki Haley and Ted Cruz. I don't think he should be president. He does some good things, I think, in Texas from time to time, but I don't think Ted Cruz needs to be president. And so you look at these numbers, like they don't look good for DeSantis. If you're deciding, do I run in 2028? If you've got an opponent that is 20% or 30% above you, and he's got both in Donald Trump Jr. and J.D. Vance, I don't think you run. I just don't see how you're going to make pickups. I mean, the obvious example of that was in 2024 when he went against Donald Trump, who had similar numbers to J.D. Vance, and Ron DeSantis did not have a good time in that primary. So these polls have been constant, by the way. This is the most recent one. Every single poll I've looked at for the last year at this point mirrors the same thing. I just don't see a way that Ron DeSantis wins in 2028 based on the polls. I don't personally understand the polls at all. I've talked about it a lot. J.D. Vance is good at speaking, but he has zero resume. Let's just be clear about that. If you like J.D. Vance, I totally understand because he says some really good stuff. That's cool. And he likes Donald Trump. That's also a plus. But in terms of what he's done, he did nothing in the Senate. He wasn't really there for long enough to do anything. And nobody does anything as vice president. That's a role where you do absolutely nothing. So, and Ron DeSantis, again, is a veteran. So is J.D. Vance, to be fair. And I think that is a plus. They're both veterans. Ron DeSantis has served in Congress for a meaningful amount of time, and he has served as, again, I think the most effective governor in one of the largest states in the United States for 8 years. So I don't really know how it gets better than that in terms of a resume. So I don't understand the polls, but that is the reality. And I know there's a lot of viewers who like J.D. Vance more anyway, so that's fine. So to me, the path to the presidency is very simple, and it's not a path that involves 2028. It does involve 2028, but it doesn't mean he's going to run in 2028. What he needs to do is exactly what J.D. Vance did with Trump. He needs to set himself up as the next in line. He's got to play the long game with this, and that means that he needs to join with J.D. Vance early on, not even campaign against him. Like, there is no primary that Ron DeSantis is running. He should not run it at all, and the reason why is because of the data that we're seeing that I just showed you. What he needs to do is run with J.D. Vance because obviously he's going to win. And by the way, J.D. Vance and Donald Trump Jr. not going to run against each other, right? There's just no way that's happening. I don't think Donald Trump Jr. is going to run. We could see him in the cabinet. And so really, you look at that 25% and that 38%, that's one, right? Everybody who wants Donald Trump Jr., when he announces he's not running, they're then going to vote for J.D. Vance. So that number is up in the 50s and 60s. So you're not running against him. What he needs to do is cut a deal with J.D. Vance and preferably be vice president. Ron DeSantis needs to be in the ticket with J.D. Vance. If he's not going to be VP, because maybe Donald Trump Jr. is, he needs to be Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense. These are pretty much the only three positions that Ron DeSantis should take. He should not take anything less than that. He is qualified for all three easily. VP, I think, will put him in the spotlight the most. Ironically, it's the most useless position. Like, he would probably be far better as Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense, but VP, politically speaking, is going to set him up for 2036, probably, right? I mean, we have to imagine J.D. Vance is going to be in there for at least, you know, two terms. If he wins both of those, if he doesn't, maybe even longer, right? Maybe he loses one and still runs and then wins, so maybe even 2040. Because again, if you look, 2036, 2040, Ron DeSantis is still a very young man. So This is not a do or die for 2028. And I'm like pleading with the Ron DeSantis campaign as someone who really likes him. Don't waste this time. Like, you don't need, I guess what I mean by don't waste the time is like, don't feel like you have to keep campaigning every time. Use this as a slow burn to build up, because I think he's in his 40s right now. If he's in his late 50s, dude, that's young. That is young for the United States. If he's in his 60s, that's pretty dang young still. By the way, I think this is exactly what the DeSantis team is going to do. I don't think they need my advice. I think they know. The biggest hint that we have right now that they are planning this is you'll notice that Casey DeSantis, his wife, is not running for governor of Florida right now. If you look at the polling, there's been hypothetical polling going on. Casey DeSantis could give Byron Donalds a run for his money in Florida. There's even some polls that show that people would prefer Casey DeSantis to Byron Donalds, but she's not running. And I think the reason why is because DeSantis wants to be on that 2028 ticket. And obviously you can't be vice president of the United States and your wife be the Florida governor at the same time. So you have Florida trying to end property taxes. Meanwhile, in New York, Zohran Mamdani will be the next mayor. And what he just announced is crazy. He just announced that white people will be required to pay higher property taxes. Speaking of property taxes, this is according to the Washington Times. And this story is ridiculous. It is crazy, guys. This is what it says. Mr. Mamdani, whose agenda calls for free daycare, free bus rides, lots of free stuff, government-run grocery stores, and raising taxes on millionaires to pay for it all, said the city's residential property taxes are inequitable. Homeowners living in neighborhoods populated by minorities pay too much in property taxes, and those living in wealthier, whiter neighborhoods don't pay enough, he said. Mr. Mamdani said the time has come to, quote, shift the burden. This is scary stuff. This is communist crap. From the city's outer boroughs to, quote, richer and whiter neighborhoods. So essentially, his plan, Mamdani, is to arbitrarily choose which New York areas should pay higher property taxes and which should pay lower ones. And he's going to implement them based on the minority in the area, based on just what he wants to do. And again, we have to stop talking in hypotheticals here. Zohran Mamdani will be the mayor of New York City. There is zero chance Cuomo wins. There is less than zero chance that Sliwa wins. It's not going to happen. And can we just pause for a moment and just talk about how crazy this all is and how crazy it is that Mamdani wants to implement a policy like this? Like, we hear from the left all the time that there's institutional or systemic racism in our country. And then they can't point to anything, of course. Like, the real question, if you're being really genuine for a second and you hear that from the left, is you say, okay, where? Like, I hear, hey, there is some systemic racism against black people in America. And honestly, I love my black brothers and sisters in our country. And I think everybody should be equal under the law. And so the genuine question to ask is where? And they never have an answer because it doesn't exist. But the policy by Zohran Mamdani is literally the definition of systemic racism, but against white people. He is literally making white people second-class citizens to appease his ruthless base of degenerate commies. That's what he's doing. And by the way, he's not cheating to do it. New York is literally voting him in to do it. Before we get back to the news, guys, the progressive left is a cult, and I talk about it all the time on the show. I also talk about it in my book, A New Cult. I talk about some never before heard stories, things big tech won't let me talk about, but it's right there in the book. Go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. So just when I think that I have exhausted all the possible content about how crazy Candace Owens is being, she does it again. This time, it's not just about the Jews. It's not about Israel. It isn't the CIA who assassinated Charlie Kirk. This time it is Trump. Take a look.
Just really needed to just take a breather and really process everything that happened with Charlie and what it kind of means in terms of where we are. And I think it is a circumstance where we just know that he was truly betrayed in one of the most egregious ways that I think I've ever seen. It has made me lose faith in politics. It has made me fully lose faith in Trump. And my heart aches for the fact that he gave so much of his life to Trump and to politics. And they just were like, nope, that is it. It serves us or it doesn't serve us. And we want to move on. And so here's a holiday, bro. If they try to give me a holiday, what is with them giving people a holiday after they kill them? Why is that a thing? You know what I mean? Like, oh, Martin Luther King, what about this holiday? What about this boulevard? Anyways, let me knock it off. Like, they're going to give Charlie Kirk a boulevard. They already did. They did in Israel. They gave him a freaking boulevard. It's like, as soon as they give you a boulevard and a holiday, they definitely killed you. Okay, there's no question. They killed you. There's no way. That's like their signature thing. It's like, that's what they do. It's the Fed signature. It's how they sign off after they murder you. They're like, holiday and a boulevard. And it's never on the nice side of town either. Like, Charlie Kirk Boulevard is not going to be a nice side of town.
Yeah, we just know, guys. That's what she's saying. We don't have any evidence, of course, but we just know that Donald Trump assassinated Charlie Kirk. The biggest betrayal, as she says, kind of cryptically, because she doesn't want to just come out and say it, because to actually say it would open her up to a defamation lawsuit, which is absolutely what Donald Trump should do to her. So she tries to do it cryptically because she's so tied up in her other defamation suits with the Macron family, for example, but they're not the only ones. I was torn for a while about Candace Owens. For a second there, I thought that Candace Owens was being crazy on this Charlie Kirk thing because she was grieving. And when people grieve, they all do different things, right? You know, people looked at Erica Kirk, for example, saw that, you know, she was really strong, and they thought, wow, this is weird. You know, this doesn't make sense. But people who thought it was weird have not experienced that kind of grief before. They don't understand that some people react very positively. Some people react very negatively. And so I thought, you know, she was sad that her friend was gone. Maybe she was freaking out a little bit because in this industry, it's hard, it's scary. Maybe she was freaking out for her own life and, you know, maybe someone would come for her. And that's what I thought. I was trying to give Candace Owens some grace, but that is not what is happening. Candace Owens has developed a simple formula for making money. She takes a tragic event, and this one's particularly horrible because, you know, Charlie Kirk was her friend. I do think that's true to a certain degree. She takes a tragic event and releases a new conspiracy on it every day without any evidence. Like, the crazy thing is it's not just one conspiracy theory that she then digs into. It's like a new one every single episode. And she has no evidence for it, but then she says she has evidence but never releases it. She says it's out there. She's got sources, but she never shows who they are. And it's a pretty smart formula because it makes people want to keep coming back every single day, and so it makes you a lot of money. Speaking of that, in this same exact show, Candace made the claim. This is a new crazy. I don't know how she pieced these crazies together in one episode, but she did. Candace makes the claim that every AI developer, including Elon Musk, is actually just a robot and that they're not human.
I don't even think these people are human. Like, I look at Elon Musk and Sam Altman and Peter Thiel, and I'm pretty sure they're hybrid. You know what I mean? Like, they just look like an Apple software that I should be able to download at night, you know? Like, my phone's getting an update or something. It's something in the eyes. Like, I don't know. I'm like, I know I'm human, but I don't know if I stabbed you if you bleed, you know? I'm not going to stab them, but I don't know if they bleed all the way. I think a battery would fall out. You know what I mean? And I just get that sense. I've always known it was demonic. And people just get on board because, as we talked about in this book, they are using science and this idea of technology and this idea of transforming society for the better to indoctrinate us into accepting this. And it's wrong and it's backwards. And they weigh their, the main component of all of this is psychology, right? They're able to do it because of psychology, making you think that society has gotten better. Our kids have objectively gotten dumber. We've become fatter. We've become less healthy. We've become less emotionally sound. And yet they are convincing us that this is like humanity's great leap forward.
Only someone completely detached from reality and on the internet chronically would think that Elon Musk and Sam Altman aren't human. Like, they're clearly human. And the reason why I say that is because they are trying to develop technology to get rich. That is like the most human thing possible. If you look at what makes a human human, it's that they innovate in the pursuit of trying to gain wealth so that they're more comfortable. That's what a human does. Like, that doesn't mean you have to like those guys. I don't like Sam Altman. I like Elon Musk to a certain degree. I think I don't like what he said about Trump, obviously, with their recent spat. But I don't like Sam Altman. So this isn't me defending him. It just means that saying someone is subhuman is kind of gross, actually. I also just think that writing off, this is a separate note, but on the AI thing, I think just simply writing off AI and the good that it can do, and already has done, by the way, I just think that's stupid. I think that's a stupid position for Candace Owens to take. Sure, we can be afraid of some of the things to come, because when things are uncertain, it is scary, but I choose to be optimistic. And I think that most people are optimistic about AI, but of course, when you make money off of freaking everyone out, coming up with conspiracy theories, on Charlie Kirk's death and AI, like Candace, there's no room for optimism. I love interacting with you guys. That's why I've created my new Substack. Substack is a weekly newsletter that comes right to your email. It's completely free to you. And I talk about things I'm not able to get to on the show. I also talk about things that big tech will censor me for. And you're able to text and write to me right back. And I always respond to you. So go check it out right now. Completely free again. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching today's episode, everybody. Please like the video so that other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give it a rating for the same reason so other people will find it. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.